Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the three moving parts of a successful business. And true to form, she has three and I have three, and yep. I bet they're very, very different.
This is going to be fun.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And as you're listening to us, please drop your questions into the comments section on Land Investors.
Tim asks, hello, I'm located outside the USA. Should I set up a virtual mailbox in the USA for sellers to mail the signed acceptance letter of my offer? Or do you think they will mail to my location in Canada? I want to remove all barriers that could prevent customers from accepting my offer.
Good.
However, I'm not sure if a virtual mailbox presents any other issues down the road for this type of business. I would appreciate if you should provide any direction. Thanks.
I love his attitude about this.
Yep.
Flat out says, right from the beginning, I want to set this up right. I'm taking responsibility for it, and I want to make it easier for the customers and the sellers and the buyers. I'll adjust to them. So that right there is massive. You're totally separating yourself from most people but with that attitude. So that said, yes, no one was going to mail anything to Canada.
Right.
I just don't know why. I wouldn't personally have a problem. I would probably think about it and maybe not do it, but or maybe do it. But your gut reaction is correct. Get a mailbox. We have a mailbox in Arizona, and the guy that owns the mailbox company, the little store, he packs all of our stuff up once or twice a week and sends it to any look wherever we are in the mm-hmm. country, and we manage it from there, or we send it to one of our company offices in another state other than Arizona. So, and they process it and get us the stuff that they take out the catalogs and junk mail and get us the stuff that we actually need.
Right.
There's also processors that will scan everything and send it to you. So you want to do that with that, and we want to get a phone number, same thing. You want to basically make it look like to the world and on the internet that you're living in Colorado or whatever, wherever you determine that works for you.
Mm-hmm. And then keep it. Whatever you pick, make it easy, make it inexpensive, make sure they've been around for a long time, and keep it forever.
So along these international lines, not many people know this, but I was talking to somebody recently about it, and it's something that everybody should be aware of. Counties, if you own real estate, a county sends you a tax bill once or twice a year, depending on the certain situation, but they're not required to do that by law. Counties are not required to reach out to you and make it easy for you to stick a check in an envelope or go online and with a credit or debit card and pay your taxes. They're just doing that to get a higher payment percentage yield.
It's true.
I will tell you, all the people I've ever talked to that work at counties or handle this kind of stuff do not send international mail. So they'll send all the tax bills out. And what if there's a Canadian address? And almost always is for this reason. The automated system that they're on doesn't handle those types of zip codes, or it doesn't handle, how international addresses are structured differently. So when you start to buy property, I would heavily recommend you use that American address so you can get tax bills and stay on top of stuff.
Good point, too. Thank you.
Anything?
Nope.
Today's topic, the three moving parts of a successful business. This is the meat of the show. Jill, let's go with you first. What are the three successful moving parts?
Okay. You want me to list all three in order?
Whatever you
want
to do.
Okay. I'll list all three, and then you can see what works for you, what applies to you, and we can talk about them. So my three moving parts of a successful business are, number one, a clear overall vision. Number two, a smooth, self-sustaining operation, i.e. they solve their own problems.
Hey, our number twos are right.
Cool.
Are the same, I mean.
That's good. And number three is growth and scalability by increasing efficiency.
Wow.
You like that?
I do. God, you're smart.
Thank you. Did I get an A?
Also, well, you're 50% of this. You can grade yourself.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm giving myself an A.
What's good is that you actually took this this concept to a different place.
Like, oh.
I didn't. The three moving parts, I'm thinking about like a machine. And what are the actual moving parts of a business that, you know, need to make it go? And yours is more of an academic philosophical, and so it's good.
Thank you. So what are yours?
My number one, the number one moving part that every business needs, and this is where I think most businesses fail, is the number one part, is a startup type entrepreneur, weirdo, free thinker, way out there personality, which is usually me and all the, that's my role in all this. You know, you dream up a podcast. Everybody can say, oh, I'm going to do a podcast. And then not everybody has can say that 800, 900 shows later.
Right.
So it doesn't end there. It's not like people like this don't just dream up one, like dream up Uber, for example, and just say, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go sit on the beach. Everybody, young people think that.
Right.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg's not sitting around patting himself on the back today saying, wow, this website's great.
Yeah.
This worked out for me. I can guarantee it. He's angry right now about something. Something's not working right. He's trying to start a new website or buy a company. It's just not going the way he wants. And, you know, it killed Steve Jobs, that attitude, times 80. So you got to have that free-thinking weirdo out front blazing the trail. And then our number twos are exactly the same. You have to have an operations. This is moving parts now. An operations person that is basically bulletproof.
That's the hardest part.
I agree. It is for us, Jill, because we're not operations people. And through my career, all the way through my career, I have had so many false, silly conversations with people that call themselves operations people, and they're not at all. Real operations people are so detail-oriented that it makes you nauseous.
Yes.
That they obsess on stuff.
Yes.
We're very fortunate to have a real operations person right now. She is kooks about just making sure everything gets done.
Yep.
It's a very hard position to fill. And it's mostly because people think they are operations persons people, but they're not.
Right.
Wonder where that comes from.
I do not know. It's not glamorous.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard work.
It's a lot of hours. It's a
uh-huh.
lot. It's basically a lot of problem solving.
Kind of like the buck stops with you.
And systems person.
Right.
Now it's with hard. IT, like, you know, I'm old enough to... There are companies without computers, and strangely enough, it was a lot easier.
I think because you have to wear so many different hats. You have to be able to jump in. You have to create solutions, make things work better. You got to really think about from staff to IT. You got to have a budgeting, finance part. You have to have your hand a little bit of everything. And you have to be able to solve problems when they arise. And maybe your team doesn't, maybe you have a set, let's just say marketing team, for example. And maybe their numbers are not, they're not hitting their numbers as they should, let's just say. And now it's going to fall on you because they kind of report to you to get them back going. So you got to quickly be on your feet and put yourself in the marketing position for a little bit and get them
right.
Get them back where they need to go. It's hard.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
And then the third one is people get the work done.
Got it.
In an ideal, perfect world, that's where you start because you don't have any experience. Then you move up the ladder. And you'll find out pretty fast where you fit. Like in your early 30s, you should know if you are an operations person or if you're a weirdo, free thinker, or if you just want to sit there and work. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with it. All three of them are really, really necessary.
I think that one of the common things in all of these parts that we're talking about is a vision that needs to be defined and written down and clear. For example, one of the things that you do, Stephen, that's so good is you have spreadsheets for many, you've created spreadsheets for many different roles and tasks and everything in our business. So everybody kind of knows what should be happening. For example, monetary goals.
I want to hear this too.
Reach goals, advertising goals,
impressions
goals,
financials,
our YouTube show, a daily YouTube show. I mean, there's, it's, we don't just sit down and go, yeah, let's do another one today. Could you imagine if we woke up and go, I feel like it. Do you feel like it? Yeah. For the last 800 and however many days, we was like, yeah, you know what? I feel like doing it again. No.
For the last 827 days, Jill and I have actually woken up and said, we felt like doing the show.
I do feel like doing it.
It was our number one priority.
That's true. Could you imagine? How many shows? Wait, this is the best. Wait. How many shows do you think we would have out of 820, whatever we're on right now, if we really did what we, every day that we felt like showing up and doing it?
Where I can honestly say probably, I know the number's different for you, but probably 85%, maybe 90%.
Done or not done?
That I wanted, I was sitting down thinking about it and doing, I think the number's like, what's your number? It's like 10%.
30.
You know, listener, have you ever been in a relationship with somebody who wants to be there 30% of the time? That's what this show is like.
Look.
Where your spouse is just looking at their watch all the time going, yep, go ahead. Because when you're done with this,
like yesterday's show. When I checked out, I gave, at about 8 minutes in.
I gave myself a show yesterday.
You did.
I let myself go.
That's okay. But it's hard, you know, but it's true. Moving parts of this business, it's like, what if you had a manufacturing company and you're like, yeah, you know, let's just not do it today. That, you know, you're making cars. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Let's get back to it next week. I'm tired too.
Take a break.
That's right. We just can't do this. No.
No.
You got to keep it moving.
Nothing gets done that
way. So you have to have clear, spelled out goals and you got to show up.
There's no place for emotion in any of this. That's where it all starts to go sideways, where you let yourself have a feeling other than this is just going to get done today.
We all
know.
That's
it. That's not even a feeling. That's a task and a calendar.
You know what? This came up last weekend with some of the members. I remember people talking about having properties out there that they just sat on. They're not even posted for sale. And you can't blame anybody but yourself. You know how, like, if I want to make more money tomorrow, I probably should put that property up on for sale so people know it's available. It's things like that. We know we're doing it, and we still do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we're not successful.
Yep.
Huh. What?
Huh. Huh. You.
So, there we go. And then in grow, I think, what was your third one? The operation?
Someone's got to do the work.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And I think not only do they have to do the work, they need to try to one-up themselves all the time. Like, I need to get better at it. I don't need to get worse at it. And I don't want to stay the same at it. I need to get better at it all the time.
Right.
I, you know, and there's no reason why I can't be. I should. Now, you could and should be a posting machine. You could and should be, you know, spending less time creating systems. So as you solve little problems and you, every time there's a mistake, you know what you did wrong, you adjust, don't make that mistake again.
You just have to have a system where it's checklist.
Yeah.
When the property comes in, you know, it's, these things happen and it just gets shoved back out.
Exactly.
And if your role is my role, and these are the people who start companies, by the way, the people who start companies are the last people who should be running them. And that's
Amen.
Just, it's been that way. Since the beginning of time. Yet people, especially like ground up entrepreneurs like we are, don't accept that.
It's true.
You know, at least half the people that I've met are of the mentality that, you know, if you want something right, done right, do it yourself.
Right.
And that only ends with in a fiery ball of tragedy.
It's
or it
true.
Ends with you and with, you know, with your face in your hands crying because you're not an operations person. You should be out starting another company.
Or, it's true.
Or diversifying the product types of the company that's already successful once it hits a certain milestone.
It's true. And finding that...
I don't know why people... I do know why people... Because they won't stop, you know, and they're machines and they're not emotional and people are trying to be a machine and get this stuff done. But the best thing you can do if you really want to succeed at this or anything else, is put the right people in place. And I don't mean right in the beginning. You need to do it in the beginning to find out
that what the right people are.
Well, to find out, you can't. If I was responsible for posting property to sell, this company would have failed 10 years ago. Maybe more. Probably 15 years ago. If I left it to an operations person to decide whether or not to do an acquisition once it came in, company would have failed. You have to find those pressure points and be honest with yourself.
Thank you.
If I was responsible for doing IT, and I was for a year, company almost failed. And I'm on, like yesterday, what was it called? Just telling the truth?
Yep. Why the truth works.
Why the truth, or 2 days ago, I think it was. Why the truth works. You know, you have to be real honest about that stuff. The flip side is you can't go into it and say, all right, I'm going to put, I'm too good for that job. You can't say that. You just got to get stuff done when it needs to get done. But the whole time be planning for replacing that task or outsourcing it or whatever. It's never been easier to do this stuff, by the way, with the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, we have department heads that are all profit centers in our company that all have workers in the Philippines that report to them, full-time people. And so as a department head or manager should never be doing actual work. And we struggle with that.
Right.
As managers, Jill and I really struggle with that, having our managers do too much work and not enough overseeing of work. It's inefficient.
You're right.
So these three moving parts, to bring this back into perspective, they all have to be kind of working together. I mean, if you picture a bicycle, you know, there's crankshaft and all, there's moving parts on a bicycle. And if one of them's not functioning properly, they're just not going to work together. In the most basic terms, it's as simple as I can get it. Think about an automobile. It's 1,200 parts in an automobile. And some of them are critical. So it's up to you to, you're listening to this because you're the number one moving part. It's very hard for, very hard for me to learn to calm down and get the right people in place and have some patience, because it's your vision. You know, they're implementing your vision. And if you're a good manager, eventually you will lead them to have their own visions and empower them to fulfill it in their own way. That's really rewarding. You'll keep an operations person, people, and staff in general forever if you give them freedom and they succeed. The fastest way to crush the spirit of any crew is to just tell them what to do over and over again and have them do it and say, well, you did okay.
Thank you.
That only ends one way, too.
Yeah.
That's Jill's silent cue for me to end it. Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss establishing trust.
And answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Can't decide if I'm actually providing value here or just kind of spouting off.
You're venting this week.
Am I?
A little bit.
How bad is it?
It's not bad. You know what? This is apparently, I know you call this business week, but this is really speaking the truth week.
Is that what this week is?
Yep. It's the truth by SB, because you just did a whole segment on that last weekend. This is more the truth by SB, and it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Share the fun by hitting the subscribe button on YouTube to stay up to date on our podcast, or if you are new to our channel, please like us and comment on what we'd like you to see in future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.